Hello, Laguna Beach. This is Gene Felder with the Village Laguna Hour on KXFM 104.7, Laguna Community Radio. The Village Laguna Hour, we discuss serious issues important to the residents of Laguna Beach. Today, we have with us the president of the Laguna Greenbelt Incorporated, Norm Grossman. Good morning, Norm.
Morning, Gene.
And we got big problems in the environmental environmental group here in Laguna Beach. What is our biggest problem today, Norm Grossman?
It's preservation of what we've worked so hard to achieve. People in Laguna Beach are very proud of the fact that we've done incredible work in creating open space as part of the general ambience of the city and also protection of the environment. And that effort, which began in the 70s, really, late 60s, early 70s, has resulted in other cities getting involved, other environmental groups working to achieve the same goals that Laguna Greenbelt has started, and that is preservation and making sure that the environment stays natural. And that has resulted in today over 22,000 acres of land that is preserved, forming what is now called the South Coast Wilderness, of which...
Hold on for a moment, Norm. Let me cut to the chase for our listeners on KXFM 104.7. Listen, guys, we need to protect the genetic health of the animals in the Laguna Greenbelt. We need a wildlife corridor to the Cleveland National Forest. So please go to the lagunagreenbelt.org website. There are videos there. Sage and what is the Sierra Club website? Sage and what is their chapter?
The Sierra Club? I don't know.
Well, you have a nice video on there. I was looking at it where...
Oh, that was CNCH Audubon.
Oh, the Audubon Society.
Yeah.
Norm is on there. Go look at lagunagreenbelt.org, and there's a PowerPoint there. Norm goes through the history. Let's go through the history a little bit here, but the main point we want to get, we need a wildlife corridor to protect the genetic health of the wildlife. While you're at the lagunagreenbelt.org, you can make a tax-deductible donation and help the cause. Let me just introduce Norm Grossman, if you don't know who he is. He moved to Laguna Beach in 1978. He joined the Laguna Greenbelt Board in 1984, has been president since 2019, and Norm served on the Laguna Beach Planning Commission nearly continuously from 1988 to 2015. And of course, Norm, the big success we had was the Walk in the Canyon in 1989, where we brought the, that was sponsored by the Laguna Greenbelt, the Laguna Canyon Conservancy, the City of Laguna Beach, Village Laguna, and even the Laguna Beach Chamber of Commerce. But that brought the negotiations, and one of the negotiators was Norm Grossman, who figured out how the City of Laguna Beach could purchase the property from the Irvine Company. So that resulted in a total of 22,000 acres of open space that surrounds Laguna Beach. That's our big success, isn't it, Norm?
Yes, it is, Gene.
And so what's the problem? We've got all that open space. Isn't that enough?
It's approximately 35 square miles, and unbelievably, that is not enough to ensure a healthy ecosystem, that animals tend in that small an area to inbreed, and as you've mentioned, that creates genetic problems. Inbreeding makes the animals much more susceptible to disease because without that genetic diversity, you have like a monoculture-type situation where a disease can wipe out the whole population. So that's one of the problems. And you start seeing that there are indications that some of the animals are suffering from that. For bobcats, one of the key things you see are kinked tails, that shows that there's some problems going on. The bobcats also become much more susceptible to mange, which gives them that really ragged-looking coat. And so what you need to do is to create a pathway, or as you had mentioned, a wildlife corridor, for these animals to interbreed with like species, particularly in the Cleveland National Forest. And that's the project we've been working on for the last probably decade and a half, is connecting the South Coast Wilderness, the 22,000 acres that surround us.
And the Cleveland National Forest is something like 460,000 acres. So there would be a lot of people to mate with, perhaps, that aren't close cousins. And there is a big barrier between us and the Cleveland National Forest. It's the Santa Ana Freeway, the 5 Freeway. Is it the San Diego Freeway? What is it there? But we have the Serrano Creek Tunnel. It's 1,100 feet long, 25 feet wide, 15 feet high under the 5 Freeway. Isn't that a good enough animal corridor?
The problem with that tunnel is it was built for one reason, and that was to convey floodwaters. And because of that, no accommodations were made for animals. It is very long, very dark, wet, and particularly there's the smell of humans in it, because for many, many years, and continuing to this day, people get in there and paint graffiti on the walls. If you can imagine something that is 15 feet high, 1,100 feet long, and totally graffitied, 100% street art everywhere. And so it's a matter of cleaning that up, figuring out ways to dewater it, figuring out ways that the animals are more comfortable, putting in lighting. So there's a number of things that can be done, and that is one of the solutions we're looking into.
Well, it seems that people use the tunnel more than wildlife. This is Gene Felder. I'm the host of the Village Laguna Hour here on KXFN. What is it? KXFM 104.7. We're Laguna Beach Community Radio. And I just want to give a little plug for Laguna, for Village Laguna. It was founded in 1971. It's a mutual benefit community organization, began when concerned citizens opposed the construction of high-rise buildings along the legendary beach coastline and helped create Main Beach Park. Village Laguna goals have expanded to encompass, to preserve and enhance and celebrate the unique village character and cultural heritage of Laguna Beach, to foster community spirit and address social needs, and to work towards restoring and protecting our ocean and coastal habitats. Hey, you got any money out there you need a tax deduction before the end of the year? KXFM 104.7 is having a fundraiser and would certainly appreciate your contributions. Go to kxfmradio.org and make a contribution that's tax deductible, or to Norm Grossman's organization. He's the president of the Laguna Greenbelt Incorporated. Go to lagunagreenbelt.org and make a tax deductible donation. Norm, we're discussing the Irvine Laguna Wildlife Corridor, which we desperately need. You've been working on. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, Gene, as mentioned, this is what we view as necessary to maintain the wildlife around us, the thing people want to see. That without it, the way things are going, what you'll wind up when you go out walking in the open space is you'll see a lot of rabbits and coyotes. I mean, that'll be about it. Everything else will unfortunately have gone. The biodiversity will be gone. So that's why we are so passionate about trying to create this idea. And as you mentioned, there's two possible solutions to getting the animals through the problem caused by the 5 Freeway. One is improving the existing tunnel, and the other is a much more ambitious one, and that's creating an overpass. And as some people know, if you look at what's being done in the northern part of Los Angeles County with the Wallace-Annenberg Animal Crossing, that is going to be the largest animal crossing in the world. These things are more and more being constructed as more and more people understand, particularly the governments are understanding how important animal crossings are. It's just part of what the people, part of what a enlightened civilization wants to see is you're maintaining the natural open spaces around you. And so that's why we think this is so critical. We worked so hard to get this land. Now it's a matter of making sure it continues to function as it's supposed to function.
So the first element in your plan has been 5 points. One of the great things our environmental groups did was to stop the international commercial airport, when the Marine Air Corps base stop at El Toro was decommissioned, and that's now the Great Park area. That's a big success that the Laguna Greenbelt has been working on, hasn't it been, Norm?
Exactly. As part of the Great Park development, when Five Point took over and got the contract from the city of Irvine, they decided, and fortunately a lot of more enlightened corporations now do this, rather than fighting with the environmentalists over every single thing that's going to be done, let's cut a deal. Let's figure out what works for everybody. And as part of those negotiations, they dedicated 2.5 miles of land that is anywhere from 600 to 800 feet wide along the perimeter of the land that they were developing for a wildlife corridor. And that's now about 65 to 75% done. It should be finished in the next 12 to 15 months. So it is incredible the amount of work they've done. They're fully vegetating it, using nothing but native vegetation. And it also is fully irrigated. The parts that are completed are already showing resiliency with the plants growing. And in fact, their biologists told us that they've already seen nesting of gnatcatchers, which is an endangered species of birds. So it's been very successful what they're doing. And again, it's the key part of making this work.
And the many people are afraid of wildlife, you know, certainly mountain lions or something like that. But the corridor needs to be properly buffered from development from its flanks. Too much noise, light, the intrusion of people and their pets make the wild animals and birds less likely to use the corridor. So Five Points has done a good job of buffering the flanks.
Exactly. It is fully fenced on both sides. It's a fence about 6 feet high, and the fence is to keep people out and the animals in. So
usually we complain about government. You touched on this, but let's just go over it a little bit. There's been Proposition 4 that is providing money for wildlife movement. The state of California has passed a law recently requiring that city governments, when they have development, include provisions of wildlife movement, and there may be funding, as I assume there was funding for the Wallace Annenberg crossing. Is that correct?
Correct. And basically, the state has moved very aggressively in this way. In fact, Caltrans, state passed the law a couple years ago saying Caltrans worry about animal crossings, and in part that's a safety issue because when a car hits a deer or some other wild animal trying to cross a road, there's damage. It kills the animal, unfortunately, but it's also a lot of damage and potential fatalities to the driver. So Caltrans now must, anytime they do work, look to improve animal crossings. In fact, in the past, I think it's 5 years, they spent almost $2 billion in trying to facilitate animal crossings. The Prop 4 that you mentioned has $180 million dedicated for animal crossings. So the money is out there, and it's a matter of, for us, coming up with the details needed to go for grant applications with the state.
This is Gene Felder. I'm the host of the Village Laguna Hour, and on KXFM 104.7, Laguna Community Radio. Tune on, tune in. Hey, if you have any money for a last end-of-the-year contribution, you might consider KXFM 104.7. Website is kxfmradio.org. Send a contribution in. This morning, we're talking to Norm Grossman, the president of the Laguna Greenbelt Incorporated. We got a big problem, environmentalists. The genetic health of the wildlife in our 22,000 acres of open space. We need an animal corridor to the Cleveland National Forest. That freeway, the 5 freeway, is tough to get through. The underpass is being used by graffiti artists and not animals. They took photos there, right? The animals aren't using it.
Correct. We did a camera study about 5 years ago that showed that animals will come right up to it. But it's dark. An animal is unlikely to walk into darkness because of fear of predators, for one thing. So nothing, even coyotes were not using it in our camera study. Now we're going to try to do an additional camera study in the next year to reinforce, see if anything's changed in the past 5 years. But right now, all evidence is that the animals are not using it. And we had recommendations. We did this study in conjunction with the San Diego Natural History Museum, and they made several suggestions that may help a lot. And that includes some lighting, some what are called shells for the animals to walk above any water. Also, particularly use of vegetation and fencing to keep out people. So there are things that can be done to make it friendlier for animals.
And I would think, number one, keep the people out. And what I always say, the problem with that tunnel, there's a bend in it. But, of course, I didn't quite realize it was 1,100 feet long. But you cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel, even in the daytime, I think.
Correct. It is dark. But there are ways that we can start to mitigate that. And, again, we're looking into that. In fact, we're in the next 6 months, we will probably come up with some feasibility studies looking into potential solutions.
Some of these things cost money. If you want to help out, the Laguna Greenbelt website is lagunagreenbelt.org, and the money that you contribute is fully tax-deductible as permissible by law. So what the heck have you been doing as president of the Laguna Greenbelt? I understand there's such a thing as the Partner Charter.
Partner Charter is, thank you, Gene, and thanks for the plugs on donations. The Partner Charter is a document that merely says that organizations, both environmental groups and government organizations, will work to help support making this a reality. And so far, we have four cities, local cities, have signed up: Laguna Beach, Laguna Woods, Aliso Viejo, and, of course, the city of Irvine. So we're confident we can get some more cities to sign up, and also a lot of environmental groups have signed up. LCC has signed up, Laguna Canyon Foundation, Crystal Cove Conservancy, Endangered Habitats League. So we've been getting good, solid support.
And you've been doing corridor tours, taking, the mayor of Irvine out and other people's out on tours?
Yes, the former mayor of Irvine now, after the election.
Is Larry Agron now mayor again?
Larry Agron's mayor again.
Boy,
yes.
The boy wonder is now, he's about our age, isn't he, Norm?
I saw in the paper he's 79, so yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah, a little younger than some of us.
Well, he was a big help in the walk in the canyon. At least he had his photos at the time, so maybe he'd be a big ally.
He is, and when the Partner Charter came before the Irvine Council, he was a solid supporter of it. So, yes, we will be meeting with him probably and organizing a tour for him. We've also done a tour for members of the California and Federal Fish and Wildlife Services so they could see it. I did not an actual walking tour, but a from the top tour with Wade Crowfoot, who is the secretary of the California Natural Resources Agency. Did another one with Beth Pratt, who's a regional director for the National Wildlife Federation, and was one of the big major players in the whole LAP-22 mountain lion work. So it's been, when people get to see it, it really changes their mind about what we're trying to accomplish. This would be, as far as we know, the first truly urban wildlife corridor. That other wildlife corridors are generally in land that is open space or where it's open space on one side and connects to urbanized areas on the other, which is what the Annenberg Wildlife Corridor does.
Yes.
But ours runs through, you know, the ninth largest city in California.
Is that Irvine?
Irvine. Irvine is now, this is something astonishing. It's a bigger city now than St. Louis and Pittsburgh.
Wow. Yeah, you can go to YouTube and see various videos on the Wallace Annenberg Animal Crossing. And it's kind of country and rural out there. And we've got a bigger challenge here, but it's a big problem. We have been working for years. The Laguna Greenbelt was founded in 1968, the Laguna Canyon Conservancy in 1988, the Laguna Canyon Foundation in 1990. We have saved 22,000 acres of open space. If you count Crystal Cove State Park, which the state purchased, I guess we can take credit for that. But it's not big enough to support the genetic health of the wildlife there. They are marrying their cousins, and it's a problem we need to solve, and it's going to take a decade to solve it, won't it, Norm?
It will, but again, we're hoping that there are interim solutions. And again, and that if it's going to be an overpass, and again, I can't say for sure. We're going to look into it. We're going to explore every possibility. But in the interim, making the underpass, the tunnel, at least work for some of the animals is an immediate goal we can accomplish in the next 3 to 5 years.
I would think, within a year or something, is keep people out.
That's pretty well done. Because the Five Point is fully fencing the corridor on both sides, it comes right up to that side of the tunnel. It will keep them out on that side. On the other side, I think we're going to just push planting more cacti to keep people out. The Irvine City, several years ago, there was a problem with the homeless using it, and the Irvine Police Department has done an excellent job in taking care of that problem. Now it's the graffiti people.
So what people have problems with is having a shovel-ready plan. So when will we have a plan?
That's our goal for the next year. As I mentioned, we're going to try to do a rough feasibility study in the next 3 months. At that point, we will be going to the state and asking for a grant to do a full 100% feasibility study, which would take probably 12 to 18 months at that point. So within 2 years, we should have a shovel-ready project where we start really going out and trying to raise the funds needed.
So this is Gene Felder. I'm the host of the Village Laguna Hour. We discuss serious issues of concern for the citizens of Laguna Beach. If you want to contribute to Village Laguna, it's not tax deductible. We get involved in political issues, but go to villagelaguna.org, become a member, or contribute money. Get involved. We've got big problems here. Our big problem is the genetic health of the wildlife. We've protected 22,000 acres of open space. We need an animal corridor. We're coming down to the end of our time. Norm, any final thoughts?
Just that I'm optimistic that we're moving in the right direction. The last 6 months has been great for us. During COVID, as everybody had a problem, and I'm not saying that ours was any bigger than anybody else, but basically we had a two-year gap of being able to accomplish anything. But the last 6 months have been wonderful for us, and we're hoping to continue that momentum. And the more people that get involved, the better. And because in the end, it's what people want that helps fund these projects. The state responds to the citizenry. And one of the big points to make is that the money being spent by the state on wildlife preservation corridors is generally spent in Northern California. So we'll be working to make sure that our elected officials try to get more of that money evenly spent down here.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much, Norm Grossman. I don't know if I went on and on enough about how important Norm Grossman has been to the city of Laguna Beach. I think he was the president of Village Laguna at one time. And he is on the planning commission for so many years, knowledgeable about everything there is involved on the Greenbelt Board, the president since 2019, on the board since 1984, working with Elizabeth Brown. We're recording this in December of 2024. Elizabeth Brown died in July of 2024. The last years of her life, she worked on this animal corridor. It would be a nice thing to do for her, wouldn't it, Norm?
It'd be great. It'd be a good legacy thing for her.
Okay, so we're going to have to wrap this up. This is going to go into a little break here and come back with more to do on the Village Laguna Hour. And hang tuned, for this is KXFM 104.7, Laguna Community Radio, the Village Laguna Hour.
Can you take care of her? Oh, maybe you can spare her several moments of your consideration leading up to the final destination. Oh, the earth is calling out. I wanna learn what it's all about, but everything I read's global warming going green. I don't know what all this means, but it seems to be
Okay, we're coming back from break, and to continue the Village Laguna Hour, this is KXFM 104.7. I'm Gene Felder, your host. We thank Norm Grossman for the interesting information on the Irvine Laguna Wildlife Corridor. And now we have in the studio Karen LeGrew, and we're going to talk about low-cost housing here in Laguna Beach. The Village Laguna Hour, we are here to talk about serious issues important to the residents of Laguna Beach. And Karen LeGrew, would low-cost housing be one of those?
Yes, definitely. All of California, but especially the coastal cities.
Housing is crazily affordable, unaffordable, right? Normally, people have to move inland, but the state of California has lowered the boom on us. And what's the problem for the city of Laguna Beach?
Well, I think there's a lot of problems with the city of Laguna Beach. The both commercial and residence, it's very expensive. There's not a lot of new building. That's country and statewide, but they're especially Laguna with the limited land available. And, even for, middle income or more, it's still unaffordable.
And the state of California has taken a significant amount of local control away, haven't they?
Yes. I think it's Werner is someone up in Sacramento who's passed a few things to address affordable housing in California. One was the ADUs, and most recently Senate Bill 4, which I think passed in January of 2023. So it's a recent bill, and we're seeing it applied to Laguna Beach for the first time.
Yes, and all the cities, they're mandated by a thing called RENA. And my understanding is that the city over the next 5 years has to find or zone to allow 394 housing units over the next 5 years. Let me let our listeners know what we're trying to do here today. I've 20 years ago, I was president of the Laguna Beach Historical Society for 5 years and on the board for 13 years. More recently, Karen LeGrew was president of the Laguna Beach Historical Society. She's currently on the board. But our comments today are not to reflect any position of the Laguna Beach Historical Society. Karen, isn't that correct?
Yes, our mission is to collect, preserve, and disseminate the unique history of Laguna Beach, but we don't take a stand on whether, something should be built or preserved. We just know a lot about it. We have resources, and we have our own personal opinions, which I'll state today.
Yeah, certainly Karen LeGrew and I I've lived in town for 38 years. How long have you lived here, Karen LeGrew?
I'm 59, so I was born in 1965. My parents came here in 1964 and lived off and on, I would say, about 30 to 40 of those years. I currently live here and have lived in many parts of town and little apartments and houses and other types of residential.
Now, the big thing about affordable housing in town is the proposed project at the Neighborhood Congregational Church. Karen and I aren't going to take a position on that, but we are both in agreement that we are looking forward to the project that's supposed to be proposed to the city in January. Isn't that correct, Karen?
Yes, and I wanted to just go back, Gene, with one thing. As I know it, there are 395 new housing units that should be built in Laguna, according to California law, but 277 should be affordable. So that leaves 24, a lot that are not, I think it's 377 possibly, but not all 395 need to be affordable, but they are new housing.
So this is Gene Felder. I'm the host of the Village Laguna Hour. This is KXFM 104.7, Laguna Community Radio. And we are looking forward to anybody that are looking for end-of-year tax-deductible contributions. Just go to kxfmradio.org and make a contribution. We would certainly appreciate your support. I'm today interviewing Karen LeGrew. We're both are very much big supporters of the Laguna Beach Historical Society, And if you have more money to make donations, please go to lagunahistory.org, and you can make a donation there, become a member. What else is on that website, Karen, for people to enjoy?
We're doing a lot of great work. We have a lot of new board members and volunteers. They can find out about the chronology of Laguna, photos from long ago. We're still working on that. We have archives that will continue putting photos up. And they can now share memories. So a lot of people come to us with stories about how special Laguna was and what their experiences. So now we have a page of memories, and there's a really nice one on there about Victor Hugo Inn.
The situation for people like Karen LeGrew and myself, we love Laguna Beach. We love history. We are for affordable housing. We would love everybody who works in Laguna Beach, it would be great, certainly people like firemen and teachers, to be able to afford to live in Laguna Beach. How exactly they do that is kind of a tough problem. And you grew up around the, at least one time around the neighborhood Congregational Church. That's a pretty high-density neighborhood already, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a mixed. I mean, part of it's commercial, the Citizens Big Business Bank and the Stop and Go and some other things, and part of it's residential. And I also have lived in North Laguna, where I rented and was a single parent at that time. I rented. And I've also lived up in Arch Beach Heights as a child. And I now am married and live in the Bluebird Canyon area.
The other thing that is tough in this particular issue is that there are our historic resources at the Neighborhood Congregational Church. Certainly the most successful architect in the history of Laguna Beach is Aubrey St. Clair. And he designed, what did he design there?
It's called Bridge Hall. It was built by Aubrey St. Clair, designed by him in 1943. It's a unique building with mahogany beams and mahogany walls in their library, which are very well kept, and leaded glass windows. It's unique in historic Laguna Beach work of architecture by our infamous Aubrey St. Clair. And it's a testament to early Laguna Beach and currently threatened to be bulldozed, unfortunately.
Certainly, we're for affordable housing, but it would break our heart to have a historic resource like that be demolished. Just in case any of our listeners aren't familiar with Aubrey St. Clair, this guy got commissions. In the 1920s, designed the Water District building on 3rd Street, 1951, the Laguna Beach City Hall, 1961, the Wells Fargo building, which was Laguna Federal Savings at the time, the only building in town, New Orleans architecture. Many of the Tudor-style buildings where the English Garden used to be, homes in town. You know of any others, Karen, offhand?
I don't. I know that Hunter Fuentes and Friends of Laguna Beach Architecture, which is a Facebook group, have highlighted others. It has this building, Bridge Hall, or this church and the parish building, were on the Heritage Month tour, architectural tour. But it's really a unique building and not something that we will get back if it's gone.
It certainly would be a shame. And, of course, the city some time ago made the this historic building is not on the historic registry. The city has made that a voluntary process now, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's a problem. Hey, this is Gene Felder. I'm the host of the Village Laguna Hour. This is on KXFM 104.7, Laguna Community Radio. And we would encourage you to tune on and tune in. And I would like to mention that Village Laguna was founded in 1971. This nonprofit mutual benefit community organization began when concerned citizens opposed the construction of high-rise buildings along the legendary Laguna Beach coastline and helped create Main Beach Park. The goals have expanded to encompass, to preserve, enhance, and celebrate the unique village character and cultural heritage of Laguna Beach, foster community spirit, address social needs, and work towards restoring and protecting our ocean and coastal habitats. And so we hope you enjoy this Village Laguna Hour. We discuss serious issues. I'm here today with Karen LeGrue, who's on the board of the, she's a lifelong Laguna Beach resident on the board of the Laguna Beach Historical Society, like me, a former president of the Laguna Beach Historical Society. And Karen, when did your mother, she was in Bluebird Park. What happened?
In 1964, they moved to Arch Beach Heights, but they only had one car. They weren't rich people. They were educators, and they could barely afford to live here then in 1964, but got a little money from a family member, were able to buy here. So they would go up and down with one car, and it was difficult. So they moved down to St. Anne's. So we were in the neighborhood where Neighborhood Congregational Church is. I attended many events there in high school. I did a career education with the Montessori school there that's been there for 50 years and unfortunately is being evicted. And they're kind of sad about that. They've always been in good standing and due to the Affordable Housing Project. And then many events. My parents are members of NCC. I've attended NCC and contributed financially and time for events, give time and been an educator at events. My son has been a member of NCC but left to be in something that was not heading in the direction of a spiritual center and more of a church. So he went elsewhere as other members did. But I just know people have weddings there. They have memories of the school, of the church. I am an educator also, an art degree in art and education, and feel fortunate to live in the town. My children have trouble renting here. They'd probably be in the HUD affordability chart. Anyhow, we're a compassionate group. We do want affordable housing. I just would love to see, in an ideal world, the integration of Bridge Hall and hopefully the Sanctuary into the affordable housing using the wraparound large parking lot at a smaller scale that would then match the compassion and needs for the community rather than destroying those buildings.
Now, the pastor of the Neighborhood Congregational Church is Pastor Rod Eccles, and they have a website if you want to know what the project latest ideas are, and it's nccproject.org, and we encourage you to take a look at that. Have you shared your thoughts about trying to make the development and save Bridge Hall at the same time, Karen, to Pastor Rod?
I talked to Pastor Rod late spring of 2023 or maybe early summer at my parents' house, and he was very excited about this new project. And I don't think people were aware that it would mean tearing down those buildings. That wasn't really talked about for a long time. So I became aware of it through Corlin Buxton and some other people that were more on top of it. So I expressed to Rod that I did not believe in tearing down those buildings or agree with that, because you can't build those buildings back. You can't put mahogany walls and bring Aubrey St. Clair back. They'll be gone forever. And he was surprised that, because I guess even though they've had tours and, you know, kind of been proud of that historic building, he was surprised at my viewpoint, and he listened, and I have talked to him about that. I also started a Facebook page, because buildings cannot speak for themselves, and it wasn't really talked about that these buildings were going to be torn down. So it is called Save NCC's Bridge Hall and Sanctuary in Laguna Beach, and I've been working with Friends of Laguna Architecture and other people who want affordable housing.
That's a Facebook page?
Yes.
Say it slower. Okay. What is the Facebook page?
Save NCC's Bridge Hall and Sanctuary in Laguna Beach.
Nice. Short and sweet.
Yeah.
Yes. And Karen mentioned Corlin Buxton, and just his name, CorlinBuxton@gmail.com. He is, anybody who's interested in this issue, he was certainly quite upset with the initial 72-unit proposal that was released. Were you surprised when that was released?
Not really, because it's a developer, so that's usually, you know, that's the business they're in. But I was surprised after reading the housing element on Laguna Beach's city website that originally they were talking about the empty parking lots. There's a large parking lot that wraps around the back of the church and the side of the church. So they said that that was going to be used and 31 units would be. So I'm not sure where it changed, but... you know, people got very worried about the height and the parking, and with Senate Bill 4, they don't go through CEQA, which would be a checks and balances we normally have in a small coastal city like this. So I became surprised learning more. Yes.
Yeah. CEQA, California Environmental Quality Act, has a lot of requirements in it. One is to the city has an obligation to preserve historic resources. The way the city has right now is almost as if it's the property owner who decides whether the resource is historic or not. But the state is also, if this is self-financing, these affordable housing projects would be just kind of ministerial checkoff by the city. The city would not have design review. They would not have any approvals. Is that your understanding?
Yes, that they get a pass, you know, they pass where others would, so a private developer would have to go through that process. And, because it's a church that has a dwindling population and needs income, they can bypass that, I think colleges also. But we are sort of a guinea pig here. This hasn't happened in a town as condensed already as Laguna. And I was sort of surprised in the community meeting, well, really surprised, when Bill Witte, the developer of California, said there would be one parking space for a three-bedroom. So the parking issues could be a problem, as well as, you know, a lot of other issues for the density that they had proposed in the beginning at 72.
So. Now, once again, Karen and I are associated with the Laguna Beach Historical Society. They're not taking a position on this. Neither are we personally. We're quite interested in the proposal that is supposed to be forthcoming in January of 2025. The Neighborhood Congregational Church has come down from that 72-unit initial proposal to something like 51 to 55, and they're all one- and two-bedroom units with one parking space each plus 35 public parking spaces, I guess, for the church or visitors. But that's still three stories tall?
I think it's come down to two levels besides the rooftop area that Pastor Rod would like to have for his spiritual center, a rooftop deck or something. He wants the three levels, but this is what I've heard. But the rest is coming down to two levels, I believe.
Let me just mention, this is KXFM 104.7, and this is the Village Laguna Hour. I am your host, Gene Felder. We would like you to tune on and tune in. Today, I'm talking with Karen LeGru. We're talking about a serious issue in Laguna Beach. We thought we were built out, but we're talking about low-cost housing and how to get up to 395 additional housing units in Laguna Beach, mandated by the state of California. And the city looked at this for several years now, and they looked at, I guess the way to look at it, Karen, is this could be coming to a neighborhood near you. They looked at a site at Vista Aliso at Lang Park, at the Laguna Beach Unified School District bus depot out in Laguna Canyon. The parking lot that we enjoy behind Bouchard's and across from Wells Fargo Bank is city-owned property. They were looking at having low-cost housing there. And, of course, at one time, the TMO restaurant in South Laguna was purchased for a fire station, but then it was also considered for low-cost housing. Any comments on any of those sites, Karen?
Yes, I think it was really interesting for me to read the housing element, because there are other sites that besides those ones you talked about that were looked at. They're all different because some are more in residential neighborhoods, some are have a little more space around them. But the Canyon one, Bill Witt at the community meeting said it couldn't be in the canyon because you have to be near grocery stores or something, but we do have trolleys and we have, you know, a lot of public transportation. But something about a canyon did not fit his project because, or that company, because it's not near amenities. But I think they also called affordable housing rather than low cost. So that would be my own children who are, you know, who I'd love to be nearby. But, you know, and it probably would be me as a teacher, which I've stepped away from that and volunteering right now. And sort of, you know, who knows what'll happen next with my career. But I was a teacher, so that I'd be in that. So it's affordable housing, which actually is meant for teachers, artists, policemen, other, you know.
Yeah, the like low-cost that. Housing, one place in the city documents, it said 30% to 80% of the county median income, which was $33,000 a year to $117,000 a year. And I haven't seen it, but elsewhere they refer to it as workforce housing, where you certainly would like to have your teachers and your firemen and people who are work in Laguna Beach to be able to live in Laguna Beach. And but it's a big challenge, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, when I first came back in 2007, I think my rent was $2,000, and it was me and two children. So it's difficult, and you know, have compassion for people because we have a diverse group in Laguna, and that's what I've loved living here my whole life. But at the same time, I think we need to be compassionate about the neighborhood impact, and parking, traffic, and also for what I'm here for, basically, is the most what I want to talk about is to tear down two very notable historic structures rather than repurpose them in some way and make them of value to the low affordable housing residents and the neighborhood still. I'm going to go to Handel's Messiah coming up by Opera Laguna, and Chris Reed, one of their heads, says the sanctuary has some of the best acoustics in Laguna Beach. So we're going to tear that down. I don't know.
So there's Bridge Hall and the sanctuary. Was the sanctuary also designed by Aubrey St. Clair?
No, I don't know the designer. It was 1961. There's a cornerstone that has that date on it.
Mm-hmm.
They say it was originally intended to be built, but for 4 years, NCC and community members worked at the pageant of the masters selling, or the festival, selling coffee and things. And that's an article that I found at the library. They worked to raise money for it. Betty Davis also donated money for the blue and glass windows there. And the ceiling of that is beautiful wood meant to look like the inside of a boat, of an ark.
And
like a Noah's Ark.
I want to encourage people, for the Laguna Beach Historical Society, the headquarters is the Murphy Smith Bungalow on Ocean Avenue. If you'd like to learn more about Betty Davis and other interesting people who have lived or had contact with the city of Laguna Beach, stop on by sometime. When is it open, Karen?
Fridays, Saturdays, and Sunday afternoons from 1 to 4 p.m., or you can call and make an appointment.
Now, the project from the Neighborhood Congregational Church is being submitted to the city sometime in 2025, maybe in January. And the reason for this, the city doesn't have any power unless they provide some money. And this is kind of the way I understand it. The state is imposing these requirements on the city, but the state has some money so that there's such a fund that the city can get, and they've applied for the Housing Trust Fund from the state, $2.5 million. And this is the city would then provide to support projects that they favor, and then they would have some input. Is that your understanding?
Yes, I need to. I'm not an expert on what you were just. I know it's January that they're submitting plans.
The point I'm saying is the only reason the city has any say on it is the developer would get money from the city of Laguna Beach. I think previously, when it was develop related California, they were requesting $5 million, and the Fullerton Group that had the affordable housing project at Tia Moore in South Laguna was requesting $3 million. dollars. So in the city website, it said, you know, already with two projects, three times as much was being requested as the city was requesting from the state, the $2.5 million.
Yes, I did hear that. That's unfortunate, sort of, because, you know, I think that we all, you know, are supporting with taxes here. And I wish all voices could be heard. I think that's a large amount. And I love that it benefits those that need affordable housing. But if it is causing others to have disadvantage in enjoying the historic architecture or parking or impacting, then, you know, it's your tax dollars at work, right?
Well, certainly the historic structures are there. We certainly are against demolishing them, but we're also for low-cost housing. So what are you going to do? It'll be interesting to look at the project. Corlin Buxton and his group is working very hard because they're concerned about the neighborhood and the impact on the neighborhood. We certainly, that's what the whole thing in our normal design review process is, that you're balancing the needs of each neighbor, right?
Yes, and also, I mean, the architecture of the town that makes it, you know, very unique and wonderful. Yes, the history.
Well, we're going to have to wrap up fairly time soon, but what else would you like to say about this issue, Karen LeGru?
Well, it was a surprise that this Senate Bill 4, I guess, allowed the removal of checks and balances, and that it started with an Aubrey St. Clair building rather than maybe a newer building. I know the neighborhood around Lang Park probably won't really want a high density affordable housing, possibly because that tends to happen. But the building I'm concerned about are the historic buildings, and I know values here will always remain. The desirability here will always remain. And I hope that we can come to something that works really well for everybody and doesn't take away from why we love to live here.
Well, we certainly thank you for concerned citizens like Karen LeGru. We hope everybody listening knows a little bit more about this issue and will be following the proposed project from the Neighborhood Congregational Church. I'm Gene Felder, the host of the Village Laguna Hour on KXFM 104.7 Laguna Community Radio. Tune on, tune in. Thanks very much. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Gene.
But many things aren't plenty anymore. Like the water from our sink, they say it's not safe to drink. You gotta go and buy it at the store. Now we're told there's a hole in the ozone. Look what's washing on the beach. And Lord, I believe from the heavens to the sea, bringing Mother Nature to her knees. So let's leave some blue up above us. Let's leave some green on the ground. It's only ours to borrow. Let's save some for tomorrow. Leave it and pass it on down. There's a change taking place way on the mountains. Acid rain is falling on the leaves. And down in Brazil, the fires are burning still. How we gonna breathe without them trees? So let's leave some blue up above us. Let's leave some green on the ground. It's only ours to borrow. Save some for tomorrow. Leave it and pass it on down.
cliff called the canyon, where Daddy taught me to swim. And that water is so pure, and I'm gonna make sure Daddy's grandkids can swim there like him. Now we all ought to feel just a little bit guilty when we look into the eyes of our kids. Cause brothers, it's a fact, if we take and don't put back, they'll have to pay for all we did. So let's leave some blue up above us. Let's leave some green on the ground. It's only ours to follow. Let's save some for tomorrow. Leave it and pass it on down. So let's leave some blue up above us. Let's leave some green on the ground. Well, it's only ours to borrow. Let's save some for tomorrow. Leave it and pass it on down. So let's leave some blue up above us. Let's leave some green on the ground. It's only ours to borrow. Let's save.